Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and I'm sure you are going to learn. You're going to get an interesting perspective today. My guest is Reena Singh. She is an occupational therapist who works in Mumbai. She is a member of Generation X. She is an all-around wonderful person. Listen, Reena, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
So I'm an occupational therapist, and as you are aware, as we spoke just before the podcast, OTs work in every area. You know, we work with, post-surgery, we work with orthopedics and many, many, many conditions. But I have mainly always worked with kids with ADHD, that is attention deficit hyperactive disorder, kids with fragile X, autism, sensory processing challenges. So I have really, really only worked extensively only with this population and their families. And that's what I've been doing for the last 21 years.
Sure. So to me, occupational therapy and physical therapy are extremely rewarding from the perspective of a lot of the work that you're doing. You're able to see progress, in a short-term basis. It's not, you're not looking, I mean, you're able to see huge progress long-term, but you're able to see progress in a fairly short space. Am I properly stating that?
Not completely, because sometimes, you see, it depends on the child. I mean, if I'm talking about my area of expertise, sure. It depends on the child. It depends on the age of the child. It depends on the diagnosis of the child. It depends upon the severity of the condition. So sometimes we don't see improvements immediately. It takes us like maybe 1 or 2 months. But with some kids, it's much faster. So it varies from person to person, child to child.
Sure. And I appreciate your clarification on that. What does quality healthcare mean to you?
Quality healthcare. You know, when I started working as an occupational therapist, I was only working on the body, the physical body, you know, and as I continued working, I realized, I always felt it was incomplete, though working with the mind-body is, you know, combining the work with the mind and the body is what holistically, that's what occupational therapists do. But I only worked with the body and I realized something was missing. So for me, quality healthcare is where I'm working not just physically with the person, but also emotionally, psychologically. All the processes are interwoven into each other. And the person not just gets better, but heals, you know, and finds his best, you know, best self. That's what I mean by quality healthcare. So working holistically is what I believe in.
Okay. I'm interested to hear more about you made a differentiation between getting better and healing. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you see those two elements as being slightly different?
Getting better is with a goal that, you know, getting better means I feel, you know, healing and health is our natural state of being, actually. I feel that way. But we've been taught that, you know, you need to get better and there are diseases and there are illnesses and there are syndromes which come and we have to get better and we have to fight them. What I feel is healing is finding our true inner essence within ourselves. And when I help a person to find that, and I'm not saying there's a full stop, it's a journey. We progress with it, you know. And that's what I mean. When I am in the present, in the now, and connected with my essence, not just physically, but with my mind, body, and soul, that's what I mean by healing, you know.
Okay. So let me just throw my situation here. And that is, you know, as a complete C5-6 quad, you know, there are elements in which I can get better. We can talk about me getting stronger in certain elements. We can talk about me, you know, improving. There are those that would look for a cure for spinal cord injury, but you're talking about something that's more intrinsic, in which I become able to succeed and to become at ease with myself in the situation that I'm in, and I'm able to, you know, to find value and achievement in the place that I am. And that's your difference between getting better and healing.
Absolutely. Because when it's like getting better, I find that there is, I don't find peace within me. I feel, oh my God, I have to reach somewhere. But when I'm talking about healing, it's like, I am happy where I am. I may not be happy also, but I'm, you know, like I am okay being where I am, and I'm ready to move ahead. That's what I mean. I don't know if I'm able to convey it effectively, but there's no, you know, like, I don't know. We all feel that tightness in our chest, or we feel something in our stomach when we say, I want to reach somewhere. But it's like, you know, I'm happy where I am right now. Of course, that I want to expand. I want to grow. I want to get better. But I come from a zone where I'm comfortable being where I am, and I know I need to move ahead.
Got it. Can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
An example of quality healthcare. When I was working initially with kids, and kids would improve, and I only worked with kids, okay? Only kids. Parents would get their kids. But I used to see, oh, this child has autism. Oh, this child. I saw kids with labels initially. And my focus initially was to work and to get them better and to dilute the symptoms and what all. That was what I was working on. But I felt I was not very happy, because I felt it was completely, it was helping the family, but I felt it was incomplete. But when I involved the family, you know, when I involved the mother, the father, the grandparents, everyone became a part of the whole, process of therapy. I found it was very helpful. So I feel involving the family, the close ones, you know, who are going to be with the child, especially with the child, its parents, taking care of the emotional well-being of the parents. Because when there's a diagnosis, it's not just very easy. Oh, I got this problem. No, it takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time to accept it. And after many years also, I find there's just a toe dip into the acceptance. You know, it takes a lot of time. So giving that support to the family, because when family was supported, when I worked with the parents and they felt understood, I mean, no one can force you into accepting something, but when they felt understood, when they felt that they're not alone, and, you know, there are many other families, and when an expert, I mean, in my interaction, I would be the expert. In anybody else's interaction, the expert, if the expert tells them that it's okay, you know, we can move ahead. So that's what I mean by quality healthcare, where it's not working with just the diagnosis, with just the symptoms, but working with the emotional well-being of the people who are involved. So it's working with the family system is what I believe, you know, because I realized when I worked with the kids and when parents were not able to follow up the program, there was frustration. There was this toxic emotional vomit, which we throw on each other, you know, unknowingly. But that was a lot that was happening, and I felt it was not working out. But when parents felt supported, see, they didn't come out of the condition. Children were still diagnosed with autism. But as I said, there was peace. TK is a Hindi word. It means it's okay. You know, that's where we are. We are going to move ahead, but we are supported. And it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel angry. It's okay to get frustrated and then move on. So I feel that's where I feel is quality healthcare.
Okay. And what I'm hearing, I think a little bit, is the difference between function and diagnosis, and also understanding that this is not just the child that is affected by the diagnosis. It is not just the child that is affected by the label. It is also the parents and the family members. And can you just talk briefly about how sometimes parents are very hesitant to allow labels and diagnoses to be stuck on their children because they fear what that diagnosis means, or they fear how that is going to be perceived both in the medical community and in the community at large. Does that make sense at all?
It does, because, you know, see, one is, of course, in the medical community, that's okay. But more than that, it's in the community where the child would go, the school, the friends, the, you know, the community in which the child would be participating. You know, if there's a label, then, you know, there's so much of judgment. And with that judgment, you have to justify to everybody why your child is not doing what he's not doing. And I mean, that's not what parents want to do. You know, they have their own dreams, you know. And it's difficult. So I don't know if I answered your question well, but there is judgment. And I think with all of us, and rejection, there's fear of rejection. There's fear that my child wouldn't be accepted in, you know, among the peer group in the school. And that's not just the fear. I mean, that's what is happening. I mean, we talk of inclusion and everything. Yeah, there is inclusion, but there is rejection. There is judgment. They go through a lot. Parents really go through a lot. It's not easy. Easier for me to just talk with you, but it's very difficult. You know, like having gone with them and working with some families, some days I feel, oh God, I need a break. You know, I need a break from this family because it's overwhelming for me too. I can take a break. Parents can't even take a break, you know. So it's very, very, very emotionally draining. The diagnosis, the labels are difficult. Very difficult.
Yep. It's so interesting. We had a mom on the podcast a couple episodes ago who is a caregiver for two children that are on the spectrum. And she was talking about just that thing, the loneliness that comes with her spending a lot of time caring for her kids, and the fact that she can't run out to the grocery store because she's concerned about any behaviors that may exhibit during their stop in the grocery store. And then she also is concerned that she can't just leave her kids with a babysitter or anything like that. There needs to be someone that has, you know, the expertise to be able to help those kids in, and the loneliness that comes in that, and the difficulties that come in that are a whole, that's a whole different conversation that we could probably get into. But
I would like to interrupt here.
Sure.
But I want to really, really salute the mothers and the fathers, you know, because it's their child. They never give up. They find the strength, they find the courage, they find all that it takes to make their child be accepted. So hats off to them. It is difficult, but I feel most parents are committed and they do find a way. It's not like a bad, they just need that support that it's okay. It's okay you're angry. It's okay you're stuck. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. One day at a time, one step at a time, but they do move forwards, you know?
Yep. Well stated. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
I feel there is a lot of understanding now. Earlier, when I passed 21 years back, people didn't know much about occupational therapy, but I still feel people are not aware of the kind of work that we do with kids. Sometimes it's like, you know, I mean, even today, if I talk to somebody that I'm an occupational therapist, they say, oh, something like physiotherapy. So what's the difference? You know, we just keep getting into that. And then I have to keep explaining, you know, physiotherapy works like this. And occupational therapists work with the mind, body, and soul. It's working holistically. It's working with the family. It's so that's what I want people to know. And it's not just with kids. It's with anybody. You know, it could be like, as you said, it could be anybody. It could be a person with cancer, who's diagnosed with cancer, person who has a diagnosis of any condition, you know. So that's what I feel parents should know. And we actually add quality and we help the parent or the client or whosoever to get better and better and better. It's not the number of years. That's how it's said. It's how much quality of life that we add to those years. And that's what we do. And I'm proud to do that as an occupational therapist. I'm talking on behalf of so many more OTs, but we are proud to be who we are.
No doubt. And as someone whose life has been impacted extremely positively by OTs, the work you do is very valuable. What excites you about the future of healthcare?
What excites me is that finally, all the things that my grandparents and our ancestors spoke about, the role of, you know, like all that we did as, like, you know, we were taught, okay, you have to pray before you eat, you have to bless your water before you eat, or you have to think good thoughts when you eat, and a lot of stuff. All of those things are now scientifically getting proven. And now we are understanding what is psychoneuroimmunology, how our thinking affects our body, how, you know, like I can think, oh my God, I have a child with autism. How would I deal with it? And that is what I would create. Or I can say, oh yeah, I know that I have a child who has a diagnosis of autism, and we'll make it. We'll make it happen. And you know, that's how, so what I'm trying to tell you is what we think is what we manifest. And that's what I've seen, because earlier in my early days, you know, I used to think one parent would come to me and she would say, oh, so what? It's autism. I'll manage. And I used to wonder, oh, how over optimistic she is. You know, like I used to judge her. But then I've seen that parents who did not yield in, and they believed in themselves and they believed in their kids, they actually manifested it. And what exciting me is that we are now understanding how our emotions impact our physical body, and how we are not victims to our genes and, you know, like, oh, this is how it is and this is how it would be. No, we are the ones who are creating things, and we are the ones. I mean, if I can think and feel sad, I can think and empower myself also. And that is getting more and more recognized, which is very, very, very interesting for me.
Yep. Very true. Last question for you. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to increase the quality of healthcare?
To listen to the patients. You know, it's, I know that they don't have the time, because it's more of like, you know, okay, what is it? What do you have? Okay, this is the medicine. That is the medicine. If they can just listen, and if they don't have the time to listen, if they can just acknowledge the feeling that the patient is feeling, you know, if they come, it's like, you know, I'm not saying all medical professionals are like this. It's like, you know, some medical professionals who say, oh, your child has autism. That's it. Finish. Nothing now, nothing in future for your child. But there are some who can say, I know your child has autism. I feel if they can give hope, that's what I feel. Because, you know, whatever an expert says, that's what the person would believe. And what they believe is what they manifest again. So I feel if the medical professionals could give hope, not make them feel, oh, it's finished, it's over. It's like, you know, it's not over. There are many people who've done better, and I'm sure your child would do too. You just have to believe in yourself. If that's all that they could do, it would really, really, you know, the parents would move mountains then, you know, if that's what they can hear.
Yeah. So very interesting. And I think that's a very powerful message to remind both the two elements, to listen and then to provide hope. A very, very strong message and a very powerful way to end our conversation. Listen, Rena Singh, thank you so much for being with me today. I appreciate you joining me from literally halfway around the world and providing your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.